News Services Division of Akashwani presents Northeast Diary.
Good evening. Welcome to this edition of Northeast Diary as we explore the northeastern part of India. It gets intriguing to know about it in each episode. Let me tell you about the excitement in today's episode. Today, we bring an exclusive interview with Karen Hepthomy, an esteemed restaurateur based in Delhi, whose unique vision and culinary flair have earned her widespread acclaim in the realm of Naga cuisine. We will also bring a report from Sikkim, where a multidisciplinary team has launched a critical study on high-risk glacial lakes. This initiative aims to assess potential flooding threats and protect local communities. But for now, let's go to Manipur, where Krishna Janmashtami was celebrated with great fervor and joy. India's rich culture shines through its many festivals. One special celebration is Krishna Janmashtami, which marks the birth of Lord Krishna. This year, the festival took place on Monday, August 26th and was observed across the nation. In Manipur, the festivities were particularly vibrant. To give us an insight into the celebrations in the state, let us turn to our Imphal correspondent, J.J. Thakchum.
Manipur is inhabited by various communities practicing different religions. According to the 2011 Census of India, more than 41% of Manipur's population practice Hinduism, becoming one of the largest religious community of the state. Most Hindus in Manipur are Meitei people who live in the Imphal Valley and other plain districts. Therefore, the festival of Hinduism are popular in the state and celebrated in grand manner. Among the festival is Krishna Janmashtami, and it was celebrated across the valley districts last Monday, especially at Sri Sri Govindaji Temple and Iskol Temple situated in Imphal city. In the early morning, huge numbers of devotees visited these temples and performed puja and prayer to Lord Krishna. While visiting these temples, the devotees also bought flowers, especially lotus, fresh vegetables and fruits, and other edible items to offer to the Lord. Most of the women wore traditional dress, while men folk wore dhoti or kurta on the occasion. The main and colorful events of the festival took place in the evening at the temples. Various troops performed cultural items and prasad was distributed to the devotees. All the devotees participated in the songs and hymns dedicated to Lord Krishna, and Leela on the life of Lord was played by the artists. The festival of Krishna Janmashtami reminds us of the karma taught by Lord Krishna to mankind, which involves worship of work and carrying out our duty without any expectation of reward. The teaching of Lord Krishna remains the guiding principle of mankind. J.J. Thakchum, Akashvani News, Northeast Diary, Imphal.
As part of ongoing efforts to mitigate natural disaster risk, a significant study has begun in Sikkim's Mangan district. This multidisciplinary team is assessing the safety of high-risk glacial lakes to prevent potential flooding threats. Our Gangtok correspondent, Dilli Ram Dulal, brings more details of this important expedition in this report.
Our Glacial Lake Susceptibility Study and Community Outreach Expedition has begun in Mangan District, scheduled from August 28 to September 14. This study focuses on five high-risk glacial lakes, Khangchungcho, Gurudangmar Lake, ABC, and Shakucho. This initiative is led by the Sikkim State Disaster Management Authority, SSDMA, and the Department of Science and Technology, involving six state government departments. Experts from Sikkim University, the Geological Survey of India, and the Central Water Commission are also participating. The Indian Army and Indo-Tibetan Border Police are providing support for the expedition. Sandeep Tambe, Secretary of Science and Technology, informed that Sikkim has identified 16 high-risk lakes, with 13 located in Mangan district and 3 in Gejin district.
So just to give you a quick glimpse of what we are going to do. So we are going to do very high-tech studies to understand the geology of the lake, understand the glacier, understand the slope stability, understand the probability of avalanches and glaciers, understand the hydrology of the lake. And we are going to do it at a very high altitude, elevation. So we are going to do this at 18,000 feet. So if you go another 11,000 feet, you will reach at the top of Everest. So this is really a high altitude mission being going to take place at 17,000 feet, 18,000 feet. And everything is challenging there just because of lack of oxygen, the high altitude, the frigid climate, and the lack of road access. Just doing even walking up a slope is a big challenge. So we are going to carry along with us lots of technical equipment to do, like bathymetry study, geological study, glaciological study, hydrology study, slope stability study. All these studies we are going to do to understand the lake and the hazard it poses in a deeper manner. So based on that, if we feel that the lake poses a real danger, we will plan the mitigation. And once the mitigation plan is approved, we can reduce the hazard from the lake by reducing the level of water. Yeah, so we are taking support from central government agencies like Central Water Commission, Geological Survey of India, Sikkim University. So these are the central agencies who are joining hands with us. And at the same time, we have very experienced scientists who are glaciologists, geologists, hydrologists from Sikkim government who are also joining us. So I'm very confident that it's an integrated team with central experts and state experts. So I'm sure that we will be able to do all these studies, because we have done these studies in the past. Like we said, we did similar studies in Gezing district also. So our team is very good in using this equipment, collecting the data, bringing it back, analyzing it, preparing the models. So I guess the Sikkim team is really capable. I have full confidence. And if some support is needed, we will always access the support from experts to actually build whatever gaps are there. But finally, the solution lies in developing local capacity to address a problem that is caused because of global issues, but the impact is low.
The study aims to assess the risks of glacial lake outburst, flood, GLOF. It will include geological assessment and community engagement to develop measures for safeguarding vulnerable downstream communities. Dilip Ramdulal, Akashwani News, Gangtok for Northeast Diary.
Northeast Diary program, broadcast every Thursday at 5:30 p.m., brings very interesting and enchanting stories from the 8 Indian states of Northeast India. Don't forget to tune in. Today, in a Personality of the Week segment on Northeast Diary, we shine the spotlight on Karen Yeptami, a trailblazing Nagaland native making waves in the culinary world. Based in Delhi, Karen has garnered national recognition for her innovative approach to Naga cuisine. Let's delve into her journey and culinary expertise as we explore her achievements and passion for showcasing the rich flavors of Northeast India. Stay tuned for an insightful interview with Karen Yeptami. The interviewer is Kaushik Roy.
In the studios today, we have Karen Yeptami, who's a Delhi-based restaurateur, and she specializes in Nagaland cuisine. And of course, she also won in the year 2020 the Indo-European Chamber of Small and Medium Enterprises National Women's Excellence Award. Many congratulations for this wonderful award to you, Karen. And first of all, how did your journey into the world of food begin?
Journey in the food industry has been both challenging and rewarding. So I'll come to a part of where it is challenging. it is very physically and mentally demanding.
Yes.
Job in food industry, unpredictable long hours, and expectation from customers. You have your staff retention and recruitment, your sustainability, which is your fixed cost, your monthly expenses, your monthly fixed rent, or your staff salaries. There's so much of challenging. But the rewarding part, I would say, is that, when I see my guests who come to dine in to Zuku, and when I see them so happy, their soul is literally like, it's like smiling, I could see,
It's worth the...
Yeah, so that's
the,
when...
The sacrifice that...
Exactly. The long hours that, you are spending in your kitchen. But, that's something, the joy and satisfaction that you get from your customers. I don't want to, give up for anything today.
Right. And friends, the name of Karen's restaurant in Delhi is Zuku Tribal Kitchen, which is in the Vasant Kunj area of New Delhi. So can you tell us when you started cooking as a child, or were you in school? How did it happen?
No, I grew up in a very big family. We are seven siblings. And how typical my mom would say, my mom would make sure that all of our siblings would, I think minus brothers, four sisters, and she would make us cook every day at home.
Okay. And from what age you
started? Well, that was when we were in school, still in school, making sure that, we learn how to cook.
Okay.
Yeah, so this was my mother, was very strict. My mother used to teach, and it was more of like we were her student at home.
Okay, wonderful.
And there were times I didn't want to do it because I'm still in school, right? But my mother made sure that every day we were given turn by turn. There were times I just make just for the sake of it, I would cook. I remember one day my mom said Karen is just not giving an effort to learn how to really make something tasty, but just water and whatever, few ingredients, so that nobody eats her cooking, and the next day, nobody would want to ask her to make when her turn come. So, something like that. My mom was, initially that was kind of, I thought that it was not something my thing, but as I grew later part of my life, I really, that the food became like my passionate about, it become like something that I would want to cook and experiment, and, not only Naga food, but then I would go to the market and get the best of vegetables or the best meat quality that you come across. I want to take that home and just cook.
Okay.
So this is how my cooking started.
That's wonderful.
And at the same time, I wanted to do something on my own at some point. And working outside, I thought I can never be my boss.
Right.
Yeah.
Karen, you mentioned this very interesting story about how your mom gave each of your sisters cooking chores every day.
Yeah.
So, can you tell us which was the dish that you cooked with a lot of effort and which was appreciated by your family the first time?
Oh, that would be like akhone with smoked pork. Akhone is that fermented soya bean, right?
Okay.
I come from a Sema tribe, so that akhone is something very, very, very important for a Sema household. And of course, the pork is that we eat, that's our staple, rice and pork. So I would say yes. Until now, that's my favorite.
Okay.
So when anyone comes to my restaurant at Zuku Tribal Kitchen, that is my USP.
Okay. And then how did this journey to start Zuku Tribal Kitchen begin in Delhi?
I've been in Delhi for last 22 years or so now.
Okay.
I technically grew up in Delhi.
Mm-hmm.
So did my partially my after my I finished my 10th class, so I came and then after I finished my college, I wanted to do something. I was working basically,
mm-hmm.
working in couple of companies, but for some reason, I wanted to start something on my own to create my own identity.
Right.
And at the same time, when Zuku came, I was mother to a very young child.
Yes.
And I wanted to have more time for myself as well. But at the same time, I don't want to be just a mother, and taking care of a child. But I wanted to create my own identity. And that's how Zuku came in.
Mm.
Yeah.
So how was the initial stages of Zuku restaurant or Zuku kitchen?
Oh, very fortunately, my first outlet happened to be in Hoskas village.
Mm-hmm.
And people really came, the response from people from Delhi was very encouraging. I haven't really faced any criticism saying that, it's stinking, it's smelling, or maybe it's like these guys are serving only non-veg, and not vegetarian. I never really had that kind of problem because, and like I said, the response was very positive. And that's how, I wanted to, of course, nothing was easy. The journey hasn't been easy, There's so much challenging.
But it has been very satisfying.
It has been very satisfying. And like I said, the people that who had come and, experiment the food that I serve have been always very, very satisfying,
right.
encouraging. And for me personally, I look at it, the food that we serve is something, whatever that goes into your body, it's like a medicine,
Yes.
So I wanted to make sure that the food that I serve is fresh, healthy.
Yes, that's one of the most important things. Nagaland food, its focus is basically on greens, meat, forest produce. And somewhere I was reading that you practically use no oil or very little oil. So can you tell us a little bit about that and what kind of the basic other spices that you use in Naga food?
Yeah, so Naga cuisine overall, not only Naga, the entire Northeast cuisine is built around locally sourced ingredients.
Yes, local produce.
Yes, local produce, which is often accompanied by green vegetables, like you're saying, organic green vegetables.
Mm.
And, there is abundance in, local herbs.
Mm.
Yeah, so we are, and this combination, provides a complete healthy lifestyle, You have this, very, very minimal use of oil that ensures that the Northeastern cuisine is kind to your heart,
Absolutely.
So, yes, our cuisine is really built around organic vegetables and, lots of local herbs. So not only the fresh herbs, but we use a lot of fermented leaves, fermented bamboo shoot.
Yes.
We have fermented soya bean. We use like mazinga is another type of that is the whole states that they are used.
Okay.
It's an indigenous pepper basically, right?
Indigenous
pepper. So we have every state have used that, and that is something again very, very essential. So we use the leaves as well as the seeds.
Right.
So the seeds are again preserved for a longer time, and then like a black pepper that we use here, kalamachi, then you just crush it, and then we sprinkle. Basically, you just do the flavoring and things like that.
Yes.
So these are very, very important. Then we also use a lot of arbi, the yam. So out of yam, the during the season we will have the roots, which is called in my language is called IE, and then that also, but the leaves and stems are preserved again sun dried, and then you pound them, and then you make it into a paste. And that can keep it like for another 4 year like that. So this is what it becomes like stone. So when you cook anishi, the color becomes like that. The gravy is like this. So there's no preservative, nothing. But and yet you could still preserve it for 1 year,
That's great.
I still have in my fridge because I use it. Yes.
So in Delhi, what is the kind of food that your customers prefer at Zuku Kitchen?
Oh, everything that we serve.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, yeah.
Okay.
So we have basically, we serve rice, the white rice and sticky rice.
Mm-hmm.
And so customers, and then we also have, I mean, the, like I said, we have a lot of vegetables as well. Many people have this misconception. I must say this very clearly. North Easterns, Nagas, the Seven Sisters, we are not only the pork eaters or chili eaters or rice eaters.
Mm-hmm.
We are, our food is very well balanced, you know. So it's like we have the pork in other side, rice, we have chutney, we have got greens. Without greens, our meal is incomplete. So we have a lot of green vegetables, seasonal green vegetables, which is just a little bit of salt, a pinch of salt. Nothing. No masala, nothing, just a pinch of salt, and that is side.
So
a lot
in a
of people
healthy way.
Very healthy way. So a lot of people now, the guests who comes, they look for, they're not North Eastern. A lot of our guests from the corporate crowd, expat community, there you have the embassy community. So we have everyone who comes there, they know that we have a very simple menu. So we have a fish with bamboo shoots, we've got you know, chicken stew, naga stew. So chicken is again cooked without a drop of oil, you put a lot of vegetables in it, so it's, it's a stew basically, right? And fish is cooked with bamboo shoot and a lot of herbs again.
Are you
no
also
oil.
In your restaurant using the vegetables and other, as you said, the organic, the herbs and all, which come in directly from Nagaland?
Of course,
how do you source it?
There's a flight every day.
Mm-hmm.
There's a direct flight now. In especially in Deco, if you are sending, let's say, 50 kilos or 100 kilos, they give you very good rates. Yeah, so we outsource it like
you
that.
You get your, all the produce fresh from
Nagaland. Yes. And at the same time now, you know, thankfully, you know, a lot of Manipuri girls are very, very enterprising now. So you do get, if we are short of it, we do get some of them here in Delhi itself, which is quite convenient now, so these, any seasonal vegetables, we use it, because, you know, you're supporting local, you know, vendors as well, you know, whichever city that you are, and that's part of your contribution, so.
You know, it is always said that a person who loves cooking for others, has very simple food habits. So can you tell what are the kind of food that you yourself enjoy?
Oh, to be honest, I like every cuisine, you know.
Okay.
So I can eat something simple, yes. I can just make anything like to open your fridge. And something can, I can just use ginger, garlic, garlic and chili.
Okay.
And some meat and some fish also I can make it.
Okay.
And because what happens that here, in especially in our country, we tend to use a lot of masalas, okay? In one curry, you'll have about 15 to 20 different types of masalas. And that just, I find, this is only for me. For others, they like it that way, so I have no problem. But for me, if you ask me, I could only smell of the masala. So for me, if you ask me, I would just cook very few, like garlic, ginger, tomato, bas ho gaya. And I'll keep roasting it, you know. And then I can sit alone on Christmas Eve also and just cook that simple food for 2-3 hours, a glass of wine, and I'm happy. And I tell myself, cheers.
Okay.
You know?
That's wonderful.
So that is something that I, over the years, I learned to enjoy the simple food, you know, very simple that you make, so don't have to be very
Karen,
sophisticated.
Nagaland is also known for its lovely music, you know, and dance. We all know that. And so can you tell us of any particular music that you love the most, and what kind of music do you enjoy? And
I think music is my first love, if you ask me. Music, of course, the food is my first love as well. I think I have, two first and lovers. So two, one would be, the food, and other one would be music. You see, in Nagaland, we grew up listening, you know, music, either be folk music or all these soft rock music is what we grew up listening. So if you ask me my favorite song, Naga songs, then I would say there's a musician called Alobo. He's sang this beautiful song called Gumsujulo. Yeah, this is a beautiful song. I really like this song.
And on that note, thank you so much, Karen, for sparing your valuable time and coming to our studios and talking to us about the wonderful, wonderful Naga food, about your journey and in creating this wonderful restaurant called Zuku's Tribal Kitchen, and also talking about the finer aspects of Naga cuisine. Thank you so much indeed.
So that was Kaushik Roy in conversation with Karen Yeptomi. And now with that, we come to the end of this edition of Northeast Diary. Do join us next week to hear more stories from this enchanting part of India. Until then, goodbye.
This program was presented and produced by Vinita Thakur with assistance from Kumar Gaurav. It was brought to you by the News Services Division of Akashwani.